What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the E-Commerce Unlocked podcast, where, as always, we're chatting about e-commerce and the things that you can take into your business today, the strategies, the tactics, the details. Today, we're talking with Jake Giebel, and he is the not the founder, but he's the owner of Shutterbomb. So today, we're talking a little bit about acquiring businesses, about credit card rewards points, how to like operate and run your own brand. So just to get started, Jake, can you give us a little background on you?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, first, thanks for having me, guys. Totally get early. It's the first podcast, so stoked to be here.
And it's exciting. Yeah, it's this is fun.
It is. But my background really just comes from always freelancing. Never had like a real job, so to speak. On my own brand, college clothing brand, and then kind of started freelancing, helping other brands, mostly on Shopify, and had a lot of success scaling them through paid media, SEO, email marketing, all those good things. Thankfully, my freelancing in the beginning kind of forced me to wear a lot of hats and learn a lot of things to help a lot of different people. And then after that, I was just kind of looking for stuff to buy, and that's where Shutterbombs kind of came on the radar, and the rest is history.
That's great. So were you like solopreneuring kind of like even before the acquisition of Shutterbombs, or do you ever have like an agency background, or how did you self-taught, or give me some insight into that?
Yeah, so pretty much I've been working from home before it was cool, like 2014.
You're the OG.
Right. So I was well aware of the pros and cons to it. Like, it was so funny at the beginning of COVID, everyone was just obviously super stoked about working from home. And I was like, yeah, but like, there are some downsides
just
to
wait.
It. And
just wait.
Yeah. And you could tell like a year into it, everyone's like, I'm going crazy. Like, I don't have any interactions with people. And so you got to find that balance with it for sure. But after college, I found an agency in Minneapolis. Could not get a job for the life of me, even though I had an incredible background, had a degree from the University of Minnesota. The caveat, though, is I had some very long dreads at the time, and I'm not saying it was the dreads, but I literally went on probably 20 to 30 interviews and just had no luck. Finally, an agency outside of Minneapolis kind of found me, and never became an employee kind of right off the bat. I was just like, I want my own schedule. I want to be in control of my time. I basically private contracted through them, even though they treated me like an employee and kind of gave me the hours like that. But that was when a good amount of the learning and growth came from, because their clients were anything from small business to bigger brands. And I was the only kind of marketing person there. So we'd jump on calls and someone would say they want to do XYZ, and then they would look at me and they're like, all right, get it done. And just had to Google, start searching, go to Reddit, and kind of find a way to make it happen, right? So it kind of self-taught.
Jake was over there, what is SEO stand? You know, what does SEO stand for?
Literally, yeah. It's one of those things. You just gotta, the biggest thing in life, you just gotta stay curious, man. Like, you always have to keep asking questions, and whatever it is, like with Google the way it is, I mean, you can get YouTube tutorials. The answers are out there. You just have to look.
YouTube University is like a legit term. Like, I honestly think that should be a thing, because I've learned 90% of my job. I mean, hopefully, you know, nobody, none of my bosses are listening, right? But 90% of my job, yeah, it's YouTube.
Yeah, it's incredible. So you can find a way to make things work, and that's kind of the background with it. I'm still learning, right? Like, you're never fully knowing everything. And I think that's what I love about the space, is kind of have an edge if you're on top of it and kind of trying to find trends and things that work and kind of how to stay ahead.
So you're going in that marketing background, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, I'm marketing at this agency, and then you're like, I'm going to buy a smoke bomb business kind of thing. Like, how did you?
It's the natural progression there.
Yeah.
Super easy. Like, I see it.
Yeah. So there was a gap in there. I mean, while I was at that agency, I was still freelancing on the side. I'd say the months leading up to Shutterbombs, I mean, I probably had 7 or 8 clients, was working way too much and over my head, but was making a lot of money, but it was also like, this is not fun at all. Like, I'm stressed. This is managing over $50,000 in budgets, and it's like it's on me, right? And it's other people's money. And I think at that point, it was kind of like I knew I wanted to buy something, and I've kind of been browsing stuff. But the actual way I found it was through a mutual. Actually, one of my clients at the time posted a story on his Instagram, and he said, is anyone interested in buying a Shopify store? And that was it. And me, again, being curious, I said, hey, I want to learn more about this. Let me know. So he connected us, and that was actually how I found it. So it was definitely a weird transition, but I knew I wanted kind of something that I didn't need to trade my time for money.
So are you like, as a kid, are you a pyro? And you're just like, okay, dude, this is a shutter bomb business. I can do some fireworks. I can do this smoke bomb.
He's making M80s.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like the funniest part is I've maybe popped like 10 smokes in my life. I'm not a pyro. Like, I think that's kind of the beauty of it is I'm just like, do I enjoy them and are they cool? Yes. But like, I'm one of those people, like my fiance is always like, let's bring smoke bombs. And I'm like, babe, like, I don't want to like, they bring a ton of attention. Everyone looks at you. And if you get some Karen, like, they're going to call the like fire department. Like, you're not going to get in any legal trouble. But like, that's the last, like, if you know anything about me, like, I don't want attention called to me. I don't want people looking at me. So I don't like using them. Like, they're very like high output. They last for over a minute and they bring a lot of attention. So not a pyro, which, yeah, take that as all you want.
That's I've noticed that with like e-com marketers tend to be introverts in a way where they're like, I just kind of want to sit behind my computer and make some sales.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to talk to anybody, but I just want to send some ads and I want to make some sales.
Dude, like, I'm always thinking, you guys are just like freaking stalkers over there. You like to look at the data and look like, oh, this guy's going to buy something, but you're like just stalkers. FBI / marketers on the same level, I feel like. You guys can get in there and, mm-hmm. and learn all the details about people. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I think with that being said, though, like within the last 2 years, like my pyrotechnic knowledge and understanding of the space and like it's exponential now, right? Like just because I'm not a pyro myself or necessarily like doing it. I mean, you still need to understand the ins and outs of the people who are buying it, the product, how to improve it. And so I don't want that to come off like you can just hop in and take a brand that you have no interest in learning about, right? So it's, again, that recurring
theme. So you didn't necessarily... You didn't necessarily have like the passion for it, but you've kind of developed it. Is that kind of what you're saying? Not necessarily, maybe not the passion, but like you've gone full force into this industry, into this product.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, anything, if you are looking at buying a brand, I mean, don't think about the actual like product itself right away, right? Like don't just cancel stuff out. Unless there's stuff you know you don't want to do, like I'm never going to go into something that has hazmat shipping. It's a nightmare. So I wouldn't recommend buying anything with explosives in the mail. But
yeah, I mean, nuts.
It's awful. But I think what I fell in love with was the data. Like you were saying, Emerson, like I loved the data, that the analytics, the back end. I mean, the guy who had it before, who's one of my best friends now, shouts Kyle. But he really like took care of the brand and did a really good job. He just had no interest in running the day to day, and he's a builder, right? And I'm kind of the opposite. I like to take things and run with it. I'm not a builder. That's why I bought this brand specifically. So it was, he did a great job kind of, yeah, getting the brand in a good place to take it. But it was everything, the SEO, like there was so much room for improvement. The website sucked, no offense Kyle, but like he was doing really good numbers, but like I was finding all these things and looking at the site like, wow, like these numbers are great, and he's doing that with this, like he's not even posting, he's not sending emails, he's not doing any SEO. like, what could I realistically do to this brand if I scaled it?
No, I think that's kind of an interesting niche, and way to think about it is a lot of founders, it's a personal problem they're solving.
Right.
And they get very like personally attached to it. And I think that's like an ingenious way to go about it. I thought that about that a lot of like, hey, if I did another product-based business, it would be kind of great to do something I don't care about, but I'm able to be more subjective of looking, this is the business decision, instead of this is my passionate decision I'm making on it. Because a lot of that is... everything can be very personal real quick in business. So I think that's a great way to kind of maybe come in with maybe a bit more balanced of a head to hopefully make some of those decisions that are more like data driven and whatnot. So I think that's a great way of going about that.
I've got a little caveat to that. So I bought a business, an e-commerce business, what was it, a year and a half ago, almost. And I actually really agree with kind of the points that you guys are making of like, hey, it doesn't like you can find a business that maybe you're not passionate about, but has so much room for improvement, whether it be, you know, on the marketing side, the operational side, the sourcing side, anything like that. And this brand had all of the above, like it needs so much love. But at the same time, like, I'm not as excited about the product. Like, so it's kids clothing, mostly girls dresses. So obviously
not excited about that.
and it's, why wouldn't I be, right? I mean, a little bit more excited because I now have a daughter who was born right before we bought it.
Congratulations.
So thank you. And it's, so that part, yes, I do have a little bit of interest in, but at the same time, it's like, man, also the industry, like if it wasn't just so like fast fashion or like keeping up with trends or like the fabrics and the colors, then like, I would have no problem with it. This would be like easy breezy, that kind of thing. Whereas like, I just have to be creating new products and that's not me. So I have to like use other people and leverage other people's expertise to be able to design and say, yeah, no, this, because I am, my wife like has to remind me not to wear like a red shirt with green pants. Like it's not Christmas outside all the time. So like, I'm probably just not the right fit there. So I just, the caveat of like, there are probably some businesses or some industries where it's like, yeah, that's going to be a little bit harder because maybe you just don't really have an interest or really want to get into it. And granted, business is doing well. Like it's like, I love geeking out on the data. I love geeking out on like, okay, we need to make this better and that better. Even though I don't take the time to do a lot of it, like I'm still like, it's kind of a side gig for me. So I'll get there, you know, someday, maybe it'll be my full-time gig, but I have a hard time saying no to all the awesome things that I want to do. But just a little caveat there, you know, like sometimes, you know, make sure you at least have some sort of interest or not a total aversion to the industry.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think you really got to think about too what you're looking for when you're buying a business. Is it to take up a bunch of your time? Is it to provide you freedom? Is it kind of, there's a lot of different reasons. And I think, again, with Shutterbombs, when I was looking at that product, I obviously had a way different feeling about that than you do about baby women's dresses, right? Like, yeah. I see the product's awesome, right? And I think that there's an overlap. We obviously work with a ton of creators, and I've always kind of been in that space, even though I'm not like a photographer, videographer. Like, I've always enjoyed the art of all that. And I looked at the product and I did get excited about it. So I think that's something, again, like combination with the data, you got to find something that's going to get you out of bed and not have to like be able to work on it on days you're not motivated to, is I think a good sign.
Yeah. So how'd that go? And so you saw the post on Facebook, you talked to the previous owner, he said, hey, I want to buy this. How did that go? Is this something you're like, hey, we're going to like finance this, seller finance it? Like, how'd that actual acquisition go? Was more like, hey, we're getting bank lending, SBA lending. Maybe walk through, you don't have to go through like the numbers necessarily, but maybe strategies of like acquiring a business. How'd that go?
Yeah, for sure. So it depends where you're going to do it. I think kind of from an e-commerce standpoint, Empire Flippers and Flippa are kind of two websites that are generally moving a good amount of established websites, and they've got really helpful ways. I mean, they obviously take a percentage if you sell through there, but they handle all of it, a lot of the vetting, the P&Ls, they handle the escrow for the money. So you're not going to get scammed, right? I mean, this is a mid six figure purchase, right? So it's something that you don't want to just, oh, I'll send the money over and send me the domain. Like there's a lot of steps that go into it, and verifying the P&L and bank statements. As far as kind of the money, I mean, I did talk to getting loans as someone who's never actually held a real job is nearly impossible. So I was able to kind of get little loans from small, different, I mean, we're talking $5,000-$10,000 loans, right? Nothing that's going to get me over the finish line. Luckily, Kyle, the guy I bought it from, he was honestly so, everything he was doing was so favorable to me. It was a red flag. Like, you don't meet people like that in life, right? Like, everything he was saying was just like, sounded like exactly what I wanted to hear, and it was, but it was just like he had it listed on Empire Flippers and had a seller lined up for almost like a 1.5 times what he told me he'd sell it for, and I couldn't understand why he wouldn't sell it to him. And now I realized, because this guy he was talking to was a 55-year-old guy who just retired and was looking to a business, right? And this is not the business for that. Like, there's nothing, like, there's nobody in place for everything. Like, there were no, the only thing that was taken care of was fulfillment. So outside of that, you got to know Shopify, like, literally everything that falls under the digital marketing umbrella. But he gave me some really favorable terms, allowed me to kind of pay it out over 2 to 4 years. Credit unions are super helpful with it. And also got really lucky getting into Bitcoin early 2014 or so. So one of those things where, like, yeah, so it was, and it was really interesting too, because I mean, there's no reason for you to ever, like, withdraw over, it's just like $10,000, $20,000, even like $100,000 out of the bank. And I was like, I couldn't find money to get him. Like, no banks had the money. And then we couldn't transfer the stuff because it was, looked super sketchy, like going from one account to the other. PayPal kept blocking it. Like, we had so much time, like hard time getting him the money, because neither of us have moved this kind of money before, right? Like, why would we? And we probably never will move this kind of money again. Like, you don't even take that kind of money out for a house, right? Like, this is a massive, massive purchase. And we were geeking out because, like, I was sending him like $6,000 or $7,000 a day on Venmo for like a month straight. Like, and, like, then it got flagged and his money was on hold and he couldn't get it out. Like, it was the most nightmare thing ever. And I was like, bro, you take Bitcoin? He's like, yeah. And I just bing, sent it over and, like, got it all. It wasn't the full price. But, like, it was a really funny use case because, like, I think we're really privileged in America with our financial institutions. And it was cool to see Bitcoin for once, like, actually be used in a way that, like, hey, there's no third party here to stop this and going through. So
that's interesting. Wow. I was really surprised. So, I was thinking you're gonna say something about credit card financing. I mean, you're the credit card guy, so I thought, like, I'll just put it on my Visa, you know. You got that platinum card, right?
We'll get into that, but yeah, don't I mean, it was a thought, but, like, this wasn't a for sure thing, right? So anything with credit cards, like, don't ever be buying stuff that you don't know if you can pay off. And I didn't know if I'd be able to pay this off, right? Like, this was a big purchase and a long time.
Imagine so the points you would have gotten, though, from that. That would have been so many points.
Yeah, it literally, I wouldn't, yeah, I don't even know what I'd do. It would have been incredible.
Go crazy. So how long ago did you kind of finalize the purchase?
It was 2021, like 2021. Spring.
So you're a few years in. How do you feel, like, you know, in hindsight, you know, would you have done anything different in the negotiations, in the kind of, in the search for a brand to buy, or do you feel like everything's kind of panned out the way you had ever hoped?
This second part, man, it really was a dream scenario. I've been looking for other brands ever since then, and just kind of keeping my eye out, and, like, nothing's really piqued my eye. I bought a couple other smaller, like, affiliate blogs and kind of more SEO stuff, but as far as e-commerce brands, this was a dream situation. And the fact that the owner, Kyle, like, the numbers he was doing with it, and then, I mean, he even said it. He said it was incredibly difficult to see you basically 3-4 exit in 1 year. However, like, I'm so incredibly happy that it's in the hands of somebody, like, that's now my best friend that I trust. And, like, he's my number one cheerleader with it. And I think that speaks volumes about him, because, like, he knew that there was potential there. And he just kept saying that. And I was like, yeah, like, you just want my money. But everything he was saying came out to be true. And he's been, like, again, the favorable terms over, I guess it was a random stranger. Yeah, we had a mutual connection, but he basically let me pay it out over 2.5 years in payments every month. And, like, thinking about if I were to sell Shutter right now and finding some random, be like, yeah, dude, over the next 2 years, just give me like $10,000 a month or something and we'll call it even. And, like, I could have stopped at any point. Like, I know there's contracts, but, like, the fact that he just trusted me to do that and to make that happen, and yeah, I think just speaks volumes.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, so there's a decent level of luck, but at the same time, like, you know, probably the communication, the kind of working together, the really kind of, like, digging into the data and not
right.
and kind of knowing what you're getting into, that's definitely important, I'm sure.
Well, what was some of that due diligence like for you? I mean, you can, I'm familiar with, like, Flippa and stuff like that a little bit. They give you, like, a rough Google Sheet, kind of, like, financials in general. Are you, like, so you're back looking at bank statements, or what are you doing to verify that so they're not just, like, fluffing it up?
Yeah, bank statements are crucial. Google Analytics, anything like verifiable sources, Google Analytics, Shopify dashboards, like you want access to. I mean, reports are great, but again, I think trust, but verify always. So people can fudge with numbers and make things look good. But when it comes to Shopify, Google Analytics and those things, those numbers are, yeah, you can't change those. So I think really looking, I mean, my thought process was trying to find every single red flag of the business as possible by sending it to my friends, my parents. And you can imagine when I told my parents I was looking at buying this smoke bomb company for a ridiculous amount of money, they were like, oh, okay, let's hear more about it. And I know my parents, and I had a whole business plan ready, so they read it, and yeah, they were extremely stoked, and that was another source of some money. So shouts to mom and dad for that. But I think when you're looking at the biz, you just want to find any, like, every possible way that something could go wrong, right? Like, what are the issues here? And I think weighing out the pros and cons, and there's going to be negative things, right? Like the red flags for Shutter Bombs where it costs close to $40 to ship a package out the door for me, right? That's insane. We live in a world where we get free 2-day Amazon shipping. Most of the time it's ordered in the morning, it's here at night. It's crazy. So when you tell someone it's $40 and then it's going to be shipped in a car driven from the warehouse in Nevada to the East Coast, it's like a week. Like, people are not stoked. That is a huge red flag, and that is a huge barrier to get over, right? But I addressed it, and I knew it was there. It wasn't a surprise, and I've just kind of always been focused on, okay, like, I know these are red flags, but are they red flags that I can fix or I can deal with? And people who do buy pyrotechnics and kind of explosive devices, or people buy ammunition online, they're familiar with hazmat shipping. I've never bought any of that stuff online. So when I heard about hazmat shipping, it was crazy, right? And I think some gender reveal people, again, they don't get it, but for people that are familiar with hazmat shipping, it's not as big a deal as I made it out to be. So I think it's important to just find every possible issue with it, build a business plan, get the competitors. What are they doing? Like, I'm confident the other people in the space I can run circles around. That was a huge, like, if I'm looking at the competitors and I'm like, wow, like, these people are, like, they're locked in. Like, they've got SEO, they've got a digital team, the content's awesome. Like, it's not going to sway me from buying, but it's definitely just kind of a notch in the con column. And I think as long as your pros outweigh the cons, then you can kind of keep moving forward with looking at the biz.
In my operational mind right now is just kind of like going, I'm like, dude, hazmat shipping sounds like a pain. Like, that is, I haven't had to deal with that too much. It doesn't surprise me that it's so expensive to ship something like that. But I'm just thinking, doing international shipments with that, doing even domestic. It sounds like you do everything. Can't do anything by air, I'm assuming.
And you don't, so that's, do international shipments. Yeah, oh. Don't go across borders. You cannot put these on a plane. Like, it's a nightmare in all aspects. And the best part, you got to get a delivery on signature, right? And if you know anything about people on the internet, they don't read. They don't look at instructions. I send emails. I send texts. There's literally a checkbox when you have to check out saying, I agree to sign for this package when I'm home. And the amount of emails that I get of people saying, why aren't they leaving the package? And first, they're not leaving the package because it's marked as an explosive, right? They can't just be leaving explosive packages on people's homes. They need a signature from an adult verifying that they ordered it and it was delivered. And if they're not home, they don't leave one of those sticky notes or anything. Like, you literally have to be there for a signature. They'll try 3 or 4 times. If they don't, this is the best part, they send the package back to me and it charges another $40 to me. So now the customer's pissed that they didn't get their product. Gosh. I got charged $80 for shipping. Then the customer is obviously wanting their money back, or refund, or a reshipment, which another $40. And if you learn anything, customers are always right. So that's just kind of the cost of doing business. And it kind of depends on my moods. It depends how people ask. Sometimes they'll reship and not worry about it. But if people are, like, really rude, or like, yeah, it's just, be nice to customer support people. Like, I'm the one answering the emails, and my mom's been helping too, and which is hilarious. But I think the way you ask about these things matters. Like, if you're just complaining and making it all my fault, like people are acting like I'm driving the package to their house and like I'm in charge of the delivery. Like, we get our orders out when you order it, same day. after that, like UPS is, they're going to do what they do. And you'd be surprised that like some of these packages show up and it looks like it was used as a football. Like it's marked an explosive and it's just crumpled everywhere. And it's like, what are you guys doing with explosive packages? Like, why are you throwing them around? Like, what?
Yeah. They're just looking at it. Wow, this is explosive. And then they throw it, you know.
Like, what?
Well, yeah, if you go to those sort facilities, me and Russ, we've done some tours at some of these sorting facilities. And they just have these electronic arms just bing, 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 just sorting them out.
It's
like
a pinball machine. Literally a pinball. Like, we've got videos of it. And they're like, hey, please don't post those. But pinball machines just knocking, like, packages catching air.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, all over the place.
Yeah,
yeah, I can imagine for explosives, they probably have some good stories of stuff going boom. I'm sure. Maybe they handle those differently, but yeah, that was nuts. But no, that's crazy. That is definitely something like I want to geek out and read up more. I haven't done too much research on hazmat. That's interesting. So I mean, you kind of gone through this. Sounds like you're always looking for new opportunities and things like that to acquire or grow the business. What's some advice you would give someone that's looking to buy their first business? What are some tips and tricks you've learned or things you wish you avoided or knew when you acquired Shutter Bombs?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I think you really got to sit down and be conscious and really nail down why you're buying the business, right? If it to make a bunch of money versus to fill up time versus to fill kind of like a passion project, right? Like those all three things, I'd probably be looking at different businesses in a different way. If it's a passion project, you might not be too interested about the back end side of numbers and how scalable it is, right? Like as long as it's making money, you're fine with it, and that's cool. But I think really just being open to any ideas, and once again, staying curious with all of these people. I think when you're looking at businesses, like I love browsing through these websites, and you'll just find like a crocodile keychain website posted 14 million last month. It's like you just, it really, I think, makes you realize like that you can, there's so much money to be made online. And I think some people are closed-minded with, oh, I want to do e-commerce or I want this product or that. And I think you kind of just have to be open and you can learn a ton about different niches, different avenues, different ways of making money. I think there's just a lot of different ways to go about it. And being patient is probably the biggest thing. So if you want to buy a business next year, like start looking now. Like just don't rush it. It's not something you want to do last minute. And it ultimately, I think for my advice for it would be find something that just really makes you fired up to wake up in the morning and to work on it, right? To work late into the night. And I think a lot of people, like right after COVID with it and everyone just whatever, getting crazy, going out, being social again. And like, I would way rather stay at home and scale this brand, which that was like, wow, guys, I'm getting old. Like this is crazy. But like, it's just weird to think that. Cause if, like I said, 18, 19, 22, 23 year old me, not a chance, but like I was actively having fun doing it. And it's really, one of those things where you got to believe in yourself more than anything, right? Like if you don't have conviction in what you know and your abilities and your skills, you're never going to buy a business because you're always going to chicken out. And it's one of those things where you got to dive in, and if you're confident in your skill sets, you got to just believe. And it's something I come across so much with founders and other people. They're just kind of timid or they're not passionate about what they're saying. And that's fine, right? But it's just one of those things where like you really got to dig deep with this stuff. And most operators and entrepreneurs, they're so much more talented than they give their self credit, right? Like to make money on your own and not have a boss telling you what to do, where to go, like that's incredible to be there and sustainably. So like just getting to that point, I think a lot of people, they just need to give themselves more credit, and I think it'll help them in the long run.
No, that's awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I think that's definitely very valid. There's a lot that goes on to business, a lot that you have to be doing. And without having someone kind of kicking you in the rear to get you to do it, like self-motivation is a huge driver in business for sure. But real quick, kind of changing gears a little bit. So me and Jake met at an e-commerce networking event in San Diego like a month or so ago. And we had a survey to fill out saying like, hey, what's something interesting at a certain talent that you have? And Jake filled out that he's like the master of credit card point reward systems pretty much. So I kind of want to dive a bit more into that. Yeah, that is a talent. That is amazing.
I need to know more like right now. So let's hear it.
Yeah. So man, I think I want to start with the caveat of I'm not a financial advisor and I'm not recommending any of this stuff. Don't need you guys coming after me here. But I think when it comes to if you are a business owner and you have a business or you just have fixed expense and it's quite a bit, right? Like your inventory, your shipping, your fulfillment, like all this stuff. I mean, Shutterbomb can spend anywhere from 30 to 100 grand a month on just business cost, right? Like marketing, all of those things. You just need to apply for more credit cards. Every single credit card has sign-up bonuses, right? And those sign-up bonuses range from 50,000 points to 200,000 points. Really, they all vary. And yes, these cards do typically come with a fee. There are free cards that'll have welcome bonuses, but they're usually smaller, right? Maybe 25,000. But like the Amex Platinum, for example, it's like $650. However, like this microphone right here, like it was a $200 Dell credit that you get two times a year. So you can spend $200 in the first 6 months of the year, another $200 in the second half. So the annual fees, you pretty much get paid back from the credits that they give you and the sign up bonus points. But if you were advertising, there's cards like Amex Biz Gold where you get 4x points for $1 spent. So if you're spending $30,000 a month and you are not putting it, if you're spending any amount of money on ads and you're not putting it on the American Express Gold, you're missing out on so many points. And these points, I mean, it depends on how you want to redeem them. There's some awesome subreddits about it that they really get a lot of juice out of the squeeze. But the way I look at points is like, I love points because it's stuff I would never go to Tokyo and space $1,600 a night stay in a hotel. 160,000 points though? Done. Easy. Best decision of my life. Like you spend and you treat yourself in ways that you just normally wouldn't do it. And the easiest way to get these points is literally just by getting those sign up bonuses, and they're generally spend $6,000 in 3 months, right? If you have to go out of your way to meet these, this isn't for you. If you're spending $6,000 in 3 months on your business, then perfect. Like you're already doing it. You should never be actively going out of your way to meet any of these bonuses or to hit any of these. There's a ton of ways to kind of multiply or do more. I mean, people get really in the weeds with you get 3x at restaurants and groceries. And like, to me, like you're just not gonna, you don't spend enough a year on those things to make it worth it, right? Like 3x on $10,000 for groceries, like 30,000 points. It's just like, yeah, I wipe my butt with 30,000 points, right? Like it's nothing at this point. Like it just doesn't do it for me. And I think it gets too complicated to tracking all this stuff. But sign-up bonuses, business credit cards, they literally do not, it's tied to your EIN, so it doesn't really like impact credit score wise. So again, if you are doing this, you have a business, an LLC, get business credit cards, and the sign-up bonus is the easiest way to stack these points. And there's so many tools to use that you can literally, like I brought my fiance again overseas to Tokyo, the first class round trip tickets, had a full-on bed, right? Like I was sleeping in a plane. Like I shouldn't be doing that. Like I'm not that rich. Like what's going on here? Like it's just incredible to use those points. And like I said, you're spending this money already, so like you might as well just put it on new cards to get that sign up bonus. And then once you hit the sign up bonus, you just kind of leave it. Like you don't need to constantly be revolving these cards around. And I think if you're like me and you plan on what they call churning for a long time, like you don't want to cancel these cards right away, or really ever. It kind of removes you from getting that bonus down the road again. So you can just downgrade to a free card. There's a lot of little tips, tricks, hacks with it, but it's my favorite part of being a business owner, to be honest. Like it's like I said, the way you spend this money is like, it makes you feel like you have FU money, which I think we all strive for, but like I have it in points, which I can't go to the grocery store or do anything with it, but I can travel, and those memories and those experiences, I mean, to me, that's why I'm here. I think getting out of your comfort zone, seeing other cultures, traveling the world, I mean, those are the things that really motivate me to work hard and to continue finding things and doing things. But if I can go on vacation and get there without spending money and stay at these places where they're picking up my bag for me when I get out of the Uber, like, I'm used to Holiday Inns, like a little cookie at the front desk. like they're literally putting hot towels on my hands or taking off my shoes, giving me slippers. Like, it's, I think everyone deserves to be treated like royalty, and credit card points is how you do it.
I'm excited for your master class on using credit cards for a luxurious life. I think that's awesome.
Dude, really quick, you answered the whole time I had like these questions going. You answered a few of them, like, don't cancel it after a year or whatever. But you mentioned like their platforms or like softwares that help you like pull those together, or did I miss?
Yeah, so
that?
For redeeming points and stuff, they're just sites like the free sites people make, like seats.aero, A-E-R-O, or seats. Room or room.arrow is kind of the other one, but there's a few sites. And again, if you go to the subreddit churning, you will be baffled by the things people do and the redemption that they get. Award Travel is another really good subreddit where people just post the trips that they went on and how they booked it and the points. And but as far as the sign up bonuses go for like finding the cards, I mean, it's just kind of a simple Google each month, like NerdWallet and places like those. I mean, they'll basically have all the top offers for that. But again, sign up bonuses is what you focus on. You literally get hundreds of thousand points, and then 4x for ad spend is kind of the only other one. But if you're a brand spending $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month on ads, I mean, you are talking about so many points that you can just stash away, like they don't expire, and it's great.
That's amazing. I love it. My last question is, like, instead of cash back or points, I've heard that points usually are better than quote unquote cash
back. So it, again, I think it all depends on what you want. Like, if you'd rather have cash back. So again, my issue with cash back is I don't spend cash like I spend points. Like, I am very very smart with my money. I am not smart with my points. Like, I don't care about what the redemption rate is. Like, I got these points, so I don't have to worry about these things. I think generally speaking, you get about like a cent per point. But there are ways to get redemption rates by transferring to airlines, transferring to hotel partners. Like from Amex, you can transfer to Hilton and get 2x points. So like, I just sent my parents a couple weeks ago to an all-inclusive in Mexico for, it was like 80,000 American Express points, was able to book them 4 days all-inclusive, Playa del Carmen, for, it was 160,000 Hilton points, but it only cost 80,000 Amex. Like, you get 2x the amount of points at Hilton. So just knowing little things like that where you can find ways to redeem them. And I mean, that redemption rate, like, my points were like a little over 11 cent per point, which, like, that value, wow, is just, yeah, it's hard to beat, right? Like, and again, that's, you can get in the weeds on a subreddit, like, people will get pissed if you do a redemption rate under 2 cents, and I get it. But like, I think at the end of the day, like, you spend the points how you want to spend it. And if you're not spending your own money, like, it really doesn't matter, right? Like, if you can bring your family somewhere or send a friend or parents, whatever, like, and not have to take money out of your pocket, but makes their trip, makes that, force them to do something they probably wouldn't have done. And I think that's really the best part.
Yeah. Dude, that's amazing. I love that. This is definitely something that, you know, a whole world that we can dive down deep into.
It is. Yeah. It's been on my list to like put together resources, and Jake of All Trades is kind of the brand that I'm thinking about building it under. And I think, like, me that saying it publicly out loud, kind of some accountability here. So yeah, when that's up, I will let you guys know, and definitely get your feedback on it. And but yeah, there's so much stuff. I mean, again, I think I staying curious with all of it, searching for things, looking up, Reddit is, it's just a treasure trove. I love that place. Don't post much on there, but like, man, the people are just hilarious.
That's amazing. Well, you bring up one of our last questions, which is great. How do people get a hold of you? How can they connect with you if they've got more questions about how you bought your business or how you're operating it, or even how to get some awesome credit card rewards points?
Yeah, for sure. Just Twitter and Instagram at Giebz, GIEBZ. But that's it, man. I don't have nothing for you guys. I don't have a website. No. Don't have a lead form. We got nothing to shill. So happy to help. If anyone's got questions or wants to chat about things. And I'd love to be able to help anyone that's got questions about it and about the process. And I really wish I had someone when I was going through it. So I'm happy to be that person for other people.
That's awesome. Well, we'll be looking for Jake of all trades brand coming soon.
I hope, man. We'll see. A million other things to do, man. I got a support inbox getting up there. I got a couple people mad. It's just endless, man. It's like a balancing act of all of it. But yeah, I just love it. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Dude, that's amazing. Well, Jake, thank you so much for jumping on with us today, kind of sharing your knowledge and some of your experience. And honestly, we hope to have you back.
I would be happy to, man. Appreciate you guys having me. And it's been fun.